And so we understand massive, massive, something large, huge, great, monumental, momentum, a property of moving, of a moving body that the body has by virtue of its mass and motion, and that is equal to the body's mass and velocity. We learned that there's two legs to massive momentum. What's one of the legs, students? Huh? I don't hear. I can't hear you. Stewardship is one of them. And what else? What's the other one? Generosity. You can't have one without the other. Y'all get me? You can't have one without the other. And what I found myself was, I found that I was getting in my own way from receiving and maintaining massive momentum in my life. Some of us, in whatever we want to accomplish, whether it be in academics, in education, on our job, in our career, in weight loss, in bodybuilding, whatever we want to do, most of us, what happens is, well, some of us, I won't say most, some of us, what happens is we can't achieve the goals that we set in place because we can't get out of our own way. We trip ourselves up because of our thinking, because of our speech, because of we don't think we're good enough, we don't think we have enough, we don't think we're smart enough. And so we cancel out the things, our goals, the things that God has even shown you. We've even said to go on and say, well, that's for somebody else, that's not for me. How many of you have ever said that about yourself? Look at somebody and just tell them, get out your own way. You tripping. We're tripping ourselves up. And it's so, isn't that frustrating though? When you know what God has shown you, when you know that you were made for more, you were built for more, and God has this thing for you, but you cannot get out your own way in order to achieve it. Because your mentality is not where it's supposed to be. We don't know God's word like we need to know, like we need to know it. And so this is the thing. We get in this we have this attitude where we start putting the blame on somebody else. And we start saying what this person did and what that, and we blame shift. And that's not where we need to put the responsibility. The responsibility needs to be here. Amen? You ever met somebody that always got an excuse? You know, you say, hey, let's race. And then you take off running, they lose, and my shoe was untied. See, that wasn't fair. Right? Always got an excuse. Well, that's the mentality. We got to get out of our own way. You got to ask yourself, am I stopping myself? Am I the reason I'm not achieving and going where God wants me to go or having massive momentum in my life? Is it because of me? Take inventory. Check yourself, right? Today, we want to help you get out your way. And today we want to talk about gratitude, being thankful, right? So we live in an angry time. Like everybody, if not everybody, but a lot of people, they're just angry, just for no reason, have an attitude. And I don't know if you guys been here long. I normally tell a story about And when Cindy and I go to restaurants or we go to the drive-thru or anywhere we go, we always get somebody that got an attitude. Like, I didn't tell you to work there. And I didn't do nothing for it. I don't even know you, so I know it wasn't me. Just got an attitude. You got some more ketchup? Ain't no more ketchup. Just angry, just no reason. I asked the lady said, when she was pouring some sweet tea back when I was drinking sweet tea. I miss Sweet Tea. Oh, my wife died. I love Sweet Tea, baby. I love it. But the lady was pouring some and it started dripping. It wasn't no more in there. And the lady told the lady, hey, we out of Sweet Tea. Oh, he'll be all right. I said, what? For no reason. People have chips on their shoulder. People just mad. And it's unbelievable the time we live in. And we have people that's irritable, they resentful, they're short. It's not just because of the traffic, that's all over Tuscaloosa. That traffic will make you, it'll test your salvation. And it's not just because of those things, yes, those are part of it, but the internet and all this kind of things, Facebook have all kind of to deal with. We just angry, like on Facebook, that's just a place where people now can just tell everything. And as they're talking about stuff and you're hearing stuff, and what it boils down to, people are just ungrateful. You know, and listen, we're so polarized. And if I say something about this person or agree with something about this person, then the other person may feel like, well, they support them or they're this. Or if I say something against homosexuality, oh, I hate the homosexual. That's the time we live in. And we're so ungrateful. Listen, the United States of America is the greatest country on earth. I can tell by your enthusiasm. And we get mad because Donald Trump says to somebody to go back. Uh-oh, I'm gonna mess y'all up right here. Don't leave the church on me. Listen, if I'm a person that grew up in this country, born and raised in the United States of America, and even have been blessed to have education, to play a sport, to do whatever in this country, and they're paying me well, and I'm getting wealth or getting some kind of return on me working or playing a sport or doing whatever, and then I can go around and dog the United States of America and talk about the United States and talk about this country like this country hasn't done something for you. I'm ungrateful. I'm messing some people up now. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, if we Pastor a few years ago talked about how he loved this president when President Obama was president. He loved this president. He's going to pray for his president. People left this church. Somebody gets up here and talk about Donald Trump. Oh, no, he's a racist. He's this, he's that, he's all that, da, da, da. You must be racist yourself. Come on, really? We're so ungrateful sometimes. How many of y'all love God in this place? Now, just think. Does God take sides? Then what right do I have to take a side and just say, this is what this person is and that's it? Amen? Pastor, be back next week. We're short, we're resentful. And the root cause of all of what we walk through and go through is being ungrateful. Ungratefulness has some companions. Ungratefulness has some partners. Envy, resentment, and discontent. James chapter 4, verse 1-3, It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. How many of you know people that hate, just mad and jealous? And how many of you have had somebody jealous of what you got? Right? How many of you had somebody take something that was yours? Because they was jealous. Haters. When we allow an ungrateful heart to develop within us, we find ourselves angry at the people around us. I'm so careful of surrounding myself with people that cannot cheer me on. Amen. You've seen people that if somebody is blessed or somebody has something or is blessed with something, they cannot even give them credit, can't give them praise, can't be nice to them, can't say something nice. They're just hating, just, oh. It's so disturbing that we have that in the body of Christ. Somebody gets blessed with a Mercedes Benz, and then we question their character of how they got it. They must be selling drugs. That's just terrible. Got a new house. I wonder how they got that. We're so skeptical, and so because things haven't been working in our life, we get mad with somebody else's that it is working in. Amen. An unthankful heart actually cuts us off from the additional goodness God wants to bring into our lives. It stops massive momentum. And we've learned with the that we understand materialism and the spirit of mammon, all those things that permeate this culture. It's unbelievable what people serve, who they serve, what they do. They don't serve God. They serve themselves. Because it's all about satisfying yourself. It's all about satisfying you. It's all about what can I do for you? What Pastor said this a couple of weeks ago. When you walk in the room, are you saying, here I am or there you are? It's crazy. You walk into a room and you'll walk by somebody and then they get an attitude with you because they said, well, you didn't speak. And my response is, did you see me? You didn't speak. Because it's all about them. Right? Some of y'all said that to me in this room. I accept your apology. In this culture, we have ingratitude, discontent, anger. A major key to successful stewardship in a life of blessing is simply maintaining a grateful heart. Being thankful. Who wants massive momentum in their life? Who wants to maintain massive momentum in your life? 1 Thessalonians says this, 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful when things are going good. Be thankful when things are going bad. It doesn't say that. Be thankful when you got a lot of money. Be thankful when you're broke. It says be thankful in all circumstances. Somebody say all. All. You can kind of tell sometimes where people are going through something because they really kind of tell on themselves. Because when things are going good, they're the first ones up front. Lord, thank you, Lord. God bless you. Oh, you're so good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then things, when things are bad, they're sitting in their seat crying. Instead of being thankful and grateful. Y'all ever known somebody like that? Everything is great. They're praising God. They're running around. They're the loudest in the church. Because things are going good, so they're grateful. But when things are going bad, you can't find them. Amen? Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and bless his, and praise his name. Listen, this is the way we're supposed to approach the house of God. When we come on this campus, when we come in this building, we ought to be thankful. That's that. You want to get to the heart of God. You want to get to the true presence of God. You come in this place being grateful, no matter the circumstance. Being thankful no matter what has happened. People come in, man, and if looks could kill. Come in mad, attitude. They don't want to praise God. They don't want to lift their hands. So what we're saying to God is we are not grateful. It amazes me that when we have praise and worship, that, and I'm not talking about people that are unable to, but it's amazing to me that we have people that will sit during praise and worship. That's not, they got nothing physically wrong with you. I'm not talking about our elderly or those that have physical ailments. I'm talking about people that just want to sit down. That's a sign of being ungrateful. Because we enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. Listen, if I got a chance to come in and I got a chance to worship and praise my God, I am going to lift my hands, I'm going to stand, I'm going to worship him. Because how many of the same people stood in line for 3 hours to get a discount on TVs? Come on now. We'll stand and we'll do that, get the latest iPhone or whatever. But we come in and we can't stand over 15 minutes. It shows we're our substance. We're talking about how we're grateful, we thank you, and it comes out of our mouth now. You know, it comes out of our mouth, but with our actions, they're saying something different. Pastor Julian, he'll get up here and he'll say, hey, lift your hands. Come on, open your mouth and worship God. Come on. That is ungrateful. Do you know there's people that would kill to be able to stand and lift their hands and open their mouth and talk to God? And we come in here like we're doing God a favor. It's a sacrifice of praise for me to say something to the Lord. Whatever. Ungrateful. This ain't too hard, is it? Massive momentum. Some people are saying, oh, that's just not my personality to be lifting my hands and saying, but I see you at the ball games. What has Alabama or Auburn football done for you that you can be more excited about them than you are about Jesus? Come on now. Tight, but it's right. Ungrateful. And what we don't see it that way, though. We honestly don't correlate the two. You know, if I give my wife a present, or she gives me a present, or you give somebody something, and you they you give it to them, you hand it to them, and you just you say, "Oh, thank you," or you just, "Oh, this is nice." Will that make you feel like you're grateful, like they're grateful for what you gave them? No. Man, it's like, "Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much." Listen, man, this country is amazing. It's awesome. We're living better than 4/5 of the world. We are. This country is blessed. It's really blessed. And that's why I get tired of people talking about it. We enjoy lifestyles that, like medieval kings and queens, would love to have. Would have loved to have back in the day. We're blessed. We're here. We have the Donato family. Y'all wave. These are Donatos. They are missionaries to Mexico, and they're here visiting. And the people, they go up in the villages and all those kind. These people have pretty much nothing. They would love to have just a quarter of what you have, of what we have in this country. They would love to just have a good fan. Right? Come on. I talk with them about things they have that they don't have air conditioning at their house. They woke up one morning, you told me, what, it was 100 and what degrees in the house? It was 97 degrees in their house. Just in the house. And we ungrateful for a box fan. We throw more food away than anything. People can live off of that food for months. And we order up all this food and all it because our eyes is bigger than our stomach, and then we just throw it away. Ungrateful. Amen. Listen, there's been no better time on this planet to live. Because, listen, the awesome thing is everybody in this place has an opportunity to be their own entrepreneur. They have their own, to own your own business, all those kind of things. We can get, who? How many of y'all like hair? How many of y'all like hair? Wigs, hair, weave, all that. Come on. Look, y'all got Nimi. Look at, come on, wave, Nimi. Y'all need some hair? Go holler at Nimi. Come on. How many of y'all want a house, y'all want to buy a house in the future? Come on, lift your hand. Look, you got Pastor Adrian, Calandra, look at that right. They real estate people. You got all kind of things, all kind of opportunities that we have in this country to be entrepreneurs, to own our own businesses. Facebook, I know it's bad, but it can be great. And we have the audacity to talk about this country. Amen. So the thing is, people are so busy being jealous over stuff and other people or what they have, and not being grateful for what you have. Listen, I'm just going to break it to you. Everybody is not going to be a millionaire. Sorry to break that to you. Everybody's not going to be a millionaire, but you can have a millionaire mindset. Amen? I talked to a guy yesterday, Mr. I don't know if he's here, but he paints and stuff and does stuff for the county, and amazing man. If you would look at him, you would think, man, this man look like he don't own nothing. And man, I'm telling you what, this man is blessed just in, not because bless, I don't want to say bless, you got to have a lot of money. No, you don't. I'm just saying he has been a great steward of what he's gotten and worked. And he told me he has been working in the school system for 50 years. And so over the years, he's done great for himself as far as money and being a good steward of what God is. And I'm telling you, he is financially set. So what I'm saying to you is God has given us the opportunity to be blessed in the natural. He's given us all these things, and he's afforded us all of these ways to accumulate wealth in the natural. And then this is the greatest thing, that he's accumulated, he's gotten a way where we can accumulate spiritual blessings beyond what we can have room to receive. Somebody say you need both. See, and people put so much emphasis on what they don't have. They always talk about what they don't have, what they can't afford, what somebody else may have, all those kind of things. And we completely lose sight of all what God has done for us. So, and this is what creates people are either they're attracted to the prosperity gospel, right? Because they're in their minds, oh, I want more, and I want to get more, and I want to get more. And then you have the other side. Well, people despise prosperity gospel because in their minds it doesn't work. And it's not that it doesn't work. It's because some of the time we haven't been applying the principles of the Word of God in our life, right? Now understand, there's nothing wrong with having a nice car, nice house. Nothing wrong with that. Amen? And we hear pastors say this and people say this all the time, that it's nothing wrong with having things as long as things don't have you. Amen? We've already seen what a pitfall the poverty mindset can bring. Poverty mindset will mess you up. Understand, God rewards good stewards. God rewards good stewards. He gives you even more to steward. You want to understand why you don't have and why you don't have more? Well, what have you done with what was given to you? What was done? And some people say, well, they don't ask me to do offering. They don't ask me to do this. Well, what are you doing? Are you being faithful over the little? Amen? Heart for faithful stewardship begins by being genuinely thankful for the lifestyle and standard that you are living right now. You can't tell God, oh, I'll be thankful when I achieve all of this. Oh, when I get $1 million, that's when I'll be grateful. Oh, when I get a new house, that's when I'll be, when I get a new car, that's when I'll be thankful. No. Are you thankful for where you are right now? Amen? So, really quick, let's talk about three ways to have and maintain massive momentum in your life when it comes to being grateful. Number one, somebody say, close the door. See, chronic ingratitude opens the door to all kinds of evil in our life. Being ungrateful opens the door to the enemy in our life. And listen, one through which the enemy can bring a whole host of bad things. Somebody say, close the door. Romans 1, verse 21 says this. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. They wouldn't. They knew who he was. They knew his accolades. I read before this because I really wanted to get the context and understand what it was saying. Listen, this God had, I mean, Jesus had shown up. I mean, miracles were happening. People were being saved. The Spirit of God was just being poured out on people. I mean, it was changing the atmosphere. It was changing people's lives. All these things were happening, and these people still weren't grateful. They still wanted to serve God the way they wanted to serve God. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Here, they were actually a part of one of the most amazing times as far as the move of God. And they still got off track because they were not thankful and grateful. They wouldn't worship God. Is that crazy or what? Here you're having miracles happen right in front of your eyes. People are being raised from the dead. People are walking that couldn't walk. People are growing out limbs. People, all these kind of things. And we still weren't grateful. Somebody say, close the door. See, Paul is talking about a group of people who began simply being ungrateful to God and refusing to recognize him in his goodness. When he says they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, as a result, this is what happened. Their minds became dark and confused. They didn't recognize that how they were acting. They couldn't recognize it anymore. And it all started with an ungrateful heart. And so this deception led to idolatry, worshiping animals, worshiping things. How in the world can we go from the miracle signs and wonders that Jesus and these apostles and all these people were doing at this time, and now we're going to worship an animal? That's crazy. But we do it all the time. We see God move. We see what God has done. We see the moves of God, and we still worship things because we become ungrateful. They moved into deception. There's nothing more irritating to us as parents than a child that's ungrateful. Right? You know, a child that just thinks that because they wake up, they're supposed to have something. Right? When you do something for them, they don't even say thank you. Ain't that irritating? Look, some of the kids in there, please don't say nothing. Please don't say nothing. But that is, as a father, as a dad, it's hurtful. I know it is for us to do something for our children and our children don't appreciate it. So do you think our Father in heaven, do you think he feels the same way? You know, it's so cool because, like, Judah, he's our youngest son. And, the sun rises and sets on Judah. He's the angel. He's everything. He's spoiled. I'll just tell you that way. He's spoiled. But what melts our heart is when we do something for him, and man, he just looks at us. He said, "Mom, Dad, thank you so much." And then I, you know, it's a, is there something else I can get you? I mean, I know we bought you all about $1,000 worth of stuff, but a couple hundred won't kill. That won't hurt nobody. But it melts your heart. You want to do more, right? So just think of what the God our Father, would want to do for you if you are grateful and genuinely are grateful and thankful. Ingratitude to God is on another list. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money, and they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. Somebody say ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Look at your neighbor. Ask him, do I need to stay away from you? Listen, you don't want to be around people that's ungrateful. Man, it's just, really, it's like a downer. We got to be grateful for what we have and what God has blessed us with. See, because we set ourselves up to be vulnerable to the things of the enemy. Amen? Somebody say, close the door. Number two, we got to put blame where it belongs. Take responsibility. Put responsibility where it belongs. Not where we go into what we call the drama triangle. Where we're like, we take blame and say, oh, I'm just so messed up. Oh, I'm just, nobody likes me. Oh, I'm just, no. You just take responsibility. Just say, you know what? I was wrong. You know what? I have been ungrateful. You know what? I need to be grateful. Father, forgive me and move on. Take responsibility. This generation hates taking responsibility. There's jails full of people that said, it's not my fault. It wasn't me. Hey, sir, we got you on camera with everything. And nah, dog, it wasn't me, dog. They put blame on everybody else for their situation. That's how I grew up. It's what happened to me. I was abused. I was this. I was that. And I'm not making light of that. But pretty, man, we have to, after a while, we got to move on. Amen? We have a tempting opportunity to slip into unthankfulness whenever we feel like our needs are not being met. We blame shift. Like if a person's bills are more than what their income is. We blame shift. Because I've been there. I've been asking. I used to question God. Hold on, God. We got more money going out than we have coming in. What's the deal? What's wrong? And Christians, what we do, we get hurt, and we get our feelings hurt. We become wounded, neglected, betrayed. We feel God is betraying us. We feel God is letting us down. And really, when we look really, if we put the responsibility where it needs to be, we can look at our own lives and understand we're not being good stewards of what's been given. Amen? See, and that's why people don't understand. Y'all ever heard of Love, Inc.? Right? Okay, Love, Inc. is a ministry here in town that we support. And people call Love, Inc. thinking Love Inc. is just going to give them money on the spot, pay their phone bill, pay or light bill, pay their electricity, and buy them groceries and all that. Oh, no. What Love Inc. does is helps you change and be a good steward of what you have. They tell you, you know what? You got cable when you need to be buying groceries. Let's cut the cable off and buy your groceries. Oh, no. I got to watch the game. And then you'll turn around and you'll tell Love Inc., they ain't do nothing for me. No, it's not Love Inc. It's us. You got a big screen TV that you got from Rent-A-Center. You got your furniture and stuff like that. And we've been there. We had to do that. But what I'm saying is you don't need a big 50-inch TV and you can't eat. Come on, being good stewards of what you have. You got kids in there hungry and all this kind of stuff, but you got a big screen TV. You watching the game, though. You keeping up with Days of Our Lives and Love and Hip Hop and everything else. Somebody say massive momentum. See, we point the finger and we get mad at God, and it's not God. It's us not being good stewards of what's been given. We use this. We say, therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what shall we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Yes, God knows you need the things to in order to live in this world. Yes, he does. But we're given a lot of those things, and we take it for granted, and we take advantage, and then we're not good stewards of what's been given. Somebody say massive momentum. And so we look at God, and we blame him for not doing and not really getting us out of our mess that we created. It can be very hard to see and embrace, but the root of the problem in these situations may not be God. It might be us. Somebody say it's me. It's me sometimes. We mismanage what God has given us. And see, the thing is, we can't, listen, this is the biggest thing. We can't be trying to keep up with the Joneses because the Joneses don't pay the bills. We're trying to buy and get all this stuff and make sure that our kids have all the name brand or we have the name brand or we have this and we have that, and that's not in your budget. So we roll up credit. We got credit cards out the wazoo. We got all this stuff. We know how to float checks. Come on, any of y'all ever floated a check? Y'all quiet on me now, We know it ain't gonna be deposited until then, so then we write it this date. Y'all don't be trying to act like y'all never did it. Especially, don't try it. Listen, if we would learn to live within the means that God has provided for us now, we would take a lot of pressure off of our marriage, off our house, everything. The atmosphere in our home would be better. We wouldn't be striving. We wouldn't be arguing with each other. We wouldn't be getting mad and all this kind. Listen, one of the top things for divorce in this country is what? Finances. Because you got somebody that don't want to live within their means. Proverbs 28:13 says, People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. If you just confess, admit you got a problem. Admit, it's me. Admit, you know what? I just not have been a good steward of what God has given me. Confess it. And move on. Amen? Somebody say, take responsibility. Listen, I know this ain't one of them words that you're jumping and shouting and run all over the place. But I'm telling you right now, if you would get this in your life, I'm telling you, God will bless you more than what you can receive. Because he knows you're going to be a good steward. Amen? And then, look, let's flip this. Not in finances or anything like that. What about the spirit, in the spirit? Some of you have been gifted with so much. And some of you have a certain, you're here. Somebody is here. Somebody else is here. But a lot of times we look at the person that's here, they're looking over here at what they have. How many understands there's different giftings in the kingdom, right? Look, you can't be worried about if I got a gift of prophecy. You can't be worried about if I got a gift of teaching and you may not operate in that gift. We got to be grateful and thankful for what God has given us. And what's so awesome is every person in this room, you have a gift that's vital to the kingdom of God. And it's time for you to use it. It's not, you can't be sitting around talking about, well, I'm just not a good speaker, or, well, I'm just not, I don't operate in that, or I'm not. No, God has given you something. Somebody say, use it. Last point, number three, is cultivate a thankful heart. Listen, I know the misery when finances and things in your life and all these things spin out of control and you don't have enough and you're trying to scrape and all this kind of stuff and you having to eat the hamburger without the helper. Come on. You're having to scrape and do some things and move some things, all those kind of things. And I can remember when we were growing up, we were blessed, but I thought we had more than what we had. I really did. I thought we had money. And then as I got older and I understood money and I understood something, and I had a rude awakening. We didn't have a lot. But because of the way my mom and dad carried themselves and how grateful and thankful, they taught us to be thankful for everything. Grateful for everything. I mean, if we got somebody gave us a piece of candy in church, if we didn't say thank you, boy, tell them thank you. It was just something we learned. We learned to be grateful. And so it was so crazy. I look back now and it's like we look like we had more than what we had in my eyes because of the gratefulness and thankfulness and the things that my parents showed to God. The first thing we would say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this food. Thank you for these clothes. Thank you for these things that you have provided. We cultivated a thankful heart. And so now we try to teach our kids, please be thankful. Say thank you to people. Appreciate what people do for you. Amen? Cultivate a thankful heart. How do we do this? One of the most powerful things you can do when you are discouraged and depressed or under attack is simply begin to thank God for what you have in your life. You want depression to go? You want these things to leave? Man, be grateful. Be thankful you have breath in your body. Be thankful that you have the activity of your limbs. Or be thankful that you can come into this house and worship God freely. Be thankful that you can go home and sit in air condition. Be grateful that you can go to whatever meal today and or enjoy a meal or whatever. Be thankful and grateful for what you have. Because there's certain people that can't have that or don't have that. One of the most the thing that gets me is that Christ gave everything for us. He gave everything. He bankrupted heaven for us just to have relationship. And sometimes we can't even muster up enough strength, and we're so prideful that we can't even give him thanks. Philippians says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. Somebody say thank him for all he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? It says, and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience his peace. Somebody, you got to be grateful to God and what he's done. See, there's never a time in which a believer doesn't have much to be grateful for. We have relationships. We have health, some of us. We have meaningful work. We have a standard of living most people in this world would consider a luxury. And then this is the greatest thing. We have the wonderful privilege of being a child of God who has an eternity in heaven waiting for us in the future. That's enough to be thankful for. Like Pastor Dalton said, he gave his son, but he gave us eternal life. He gave that to us. Listen, this is the crazy thing. If God never does anything else for us ever again in this life, if we have the gift of salvation, man, he's given us eternal life with him. That's enough to be grateful for right there. Understanding that this world is not my home. That man, when I leave here, I'm going to be in the presence of God where I will want for nothing. And I'm not saying that you can't and God won't bless you here on earth. But what I'm saying is that shouldn't be the only thing, that only desire is for the blessings on this earth. My desire is to live for him forever. And he has given us, when he's gave us his son, and he's given us eternal life. That's the gift. That's a gift I want to be eternally grateful for. Somebody say, be grateful. We need to start thanking God for what he has done for us. It's time for us not to look at what other people have. It's time for us not to look at and see what this one or that. We need to look at what God has done in our lives right now and be grateful. Yeah. Stand to your feet. In this place, we've done this massive momentum series, and is next week we finish up. And there's a reason why God put it on Pastor's heart to do this. It's because we got to start changing our mentality and have a healthy mindset of who God is, of who God is to you. Because there are people that need what you have. There are people that need to be in contact with you. And there's people's lives that you are going to touch that I will never touch. But how can you be effective if you don't have the right mindset of who God made you and who you are in God? And massive momentum, this was not all about finances. It's not all about those things. Massive momentum is all about changing this mind. To have a healthy mindset, to perceive God the way he's supposed to be perceived. That's what a massive momentum mindset does. I can now see God clearly for who he is, his love for me. And so, close your eyes if you don't mind. Close your eyes. And how many of you would right now admit that you really don't have a healthy mindset? Come on, just lift your hand. Nobody's watching, nobody's looking. Come on, that's awesome. You know your mindset needs to change. Come on, that's awesome. How many of you could say and admit that, you know what, I have not been very grateful and thankful? Come on, lift your hand. I've been ungrateful. And it's time for me to change my mindset. Most of all in this place, how many of you have been ungrateful for the gift of salvation? And what I mean by that, right today, you don't belong to Jesus, and you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know today that you need to have a relationship and that you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. How many of you would say that? Just lift your hand where you are. Today, I need Jesus. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. That's awesome. I want you, where you are, just lift your hands where you are. Come on, every person in this place, we'll all lift our hands. Because in some type of way, we haven't been grateful. We haven't honored God the way we were supposed to honor. We may have honored him with our lips, but our hearts have been far from him. And we want to pray with those that lifted their hands for salvation. Right now, let's all just repeat. Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross just for me. And I thank you for giving your life when I didn't deserve it. You still love me. And I ask you now, come into my life. I confess my sins. I confess my faults to you. Today, I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. Forgive me for being ungrateful. Today, I give you my all. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Keep your hands lifted. And let's say everybody, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me for not being grateful. Forgive me for not having an attitude of gratitude. I thank you for what I have right now. I thank you for what's been given to me. Now, I bless you and praise you and honor you for all things that I have right now. Change my mindset.
Change my attitude.
Today is a new day. And I'm going to walk and be grateful. In Jesus' name. Can I say this? Some of you have in this place have been wanting spiritual breakthrough in your life. How many of you want spiritual breakthrough in your life? I mean, honestly, just want spiritual. And some of it might be equated. You can probably fuse it together and understand there might be some areas in your life where you weren't grateful and are not grateful. And I'm telling you, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. To bless his name. I'm telling you, if we can walk a life and live a life of being thankful and grateful, I'm telling you, you will unlock the things of God in your life. Because God will see that you're not worried about what's happening in somebody else's life. You're grateful for what you have. And God can use that. And God can use you. Let's lift our hands. We're going to leave in this place right now. Father, I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you we will walk in gratitude to you. You gave your life for us. You gave your son. Father, you've given us beds to sleep on. You've given us a place to lay our heads. God, you provided jobs for us. You provided food. You provided those things. But God, the most important thing is, you gave us salvation. So Jesus, we thank you for giving us a brand new life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Listen, I challenge you that when things get hard, things get messy, all those things, I challenge you to have the attitude of gratitude and thank God for everything.